Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, please. We continue our study in the book of Romans. We pick up today in chapter 4, verse 1. And today, the title of the message is Genuine Faith. Do you know that what you have is real? You need to know that. I know that on occasion, doubts arise that would cause you to question. Well, today I want to help you with that. I want to share with you how you can know what you have is real, what you have is genuine. Romans chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? What shall we say then that Abraham our father found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and those and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow to you today, praying for your guidance as we look at your word. Lord, teach us your ways. Show us what you've prepared for us today. Give us insight and understanding. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to you. And I pray that you will move through us today by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will apply this message to each individual life and each individual heart. Lord, this is your service. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just so you understand, Paul is writing this, the book of Romans, to Roman Jews, and he's trying to convince them that salvation is by faith, not works. And so today I'm going to approach this from the viewpoint of that most of you are convinced that we're saved by grace through faith. Okay? That you can't work your way to heaven, and nor can you earn heaven based on anything that you've done. However, there are those who think that saving faith is just a simple acknowledgement of Jesus. That's not right either. Okay? No, you're not saved by works, but whoa, there's a whole lot more to it than saying, I believe in Jesus. We'll find the truth somewhere in between, somewhere there in the middle. Today, I share with you how to make sure what you have is genuine. Today, we start with point number one. Very simple. Genuine faith is life-changing. I want to say that again. Genuine faith is life-changing. We read in the text that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now that word believe, it's not an acknowledgement. It literally means to trust. Abraham trusted God and it was accounted or placed on his account as being righteousness. Now the word righteousness, you need to understand, is what God requires. It's what that word means. It's right with God. It's what God requires. And Abraham believed God, and that met God's requirement. Okay? Long story, short story, that's the whole thing. Abraham trusted God, and that met God's requirements. However, the belief or the trust that Abraham had was much deeper than an acknowledgement in God's existence. The course of Abraham's life was changed because he believed God. Now I'm going to say that one more time because it's very important that you get this part. The course of Abraham's life was changed because he trusted God. God told Abraham, leave your home, leave your family, go to the land I will show you. What did Abraham do? He said he believes God. He believed God and he left his original homeland. God said, offer your son Isaac as a sacrifice. What did Abraham do? He believed God and he started to offer his son and would have offered his son, but God stopped him. Now, here's the misunderstanding. When you think a simple acknowledgement of God or of Jesus Christ is faith, you are mistaken. Acknowledging God is not faith. I can acknowledge that you exist. But that doesn't mean I trust you for anything. Okay? Yes, I know you're real. You're sitting there. But that doesn't mean I've trusted you with anything. Same thing with God. You see, in the book of James, we read that faith without works is dead. That's why I say a genuine faith will change the course of your life. If you want to know if the faith that you have is genuine, ask yourself this question. How has the course of my life changed because I have trusted in Jesus? Okay? I'm a preacher. You know why I'm a preacher? Because I trust Jesus. I'm not saved because I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher because I am saved. And I've trusted Jesus with my life. I study the Word of God because I trust Jesus. We're told in the Word of God to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I study because I trust God. I go to church. Because I trust Jesus. And Jesus said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Here's what I want you to understand. If you trust something, your life will change based upon that trust. Right? I can trust that pew right there. And I can talk about how solid that pew right there is. It's made of good wood. I mean, I'm going to take a shot. I don't know if that's oak or not, but we're going to call it oak. Right? I could bang, I can knock it. That's solid wood right there. I can look at the padding. Man, that's good padding. I see. I can touch it. I can feel it. That's good soft padding. That is one well-built pew. But I have not trusted that pew till I set myself in it. You see? That's the difference. The world today wants to tell you, oh, it's just all you've got to do is just believe in Jesus. No. You trust Jesus with your life. You see, and if I trust Jesus, I'm going to go in the direction that Jesus points me. How has your life changed? Because Jesus, because you've trusted Jesus. You know, there's a popular phrase that we use today, and it makes me a little bit nervous, I'll be honest with you. We say, oh, you just ask Jesus into your heart. I know what's meant by that, but I want you to understand it's kind of dangerous ground too. Just asking Jesus into your heart is not being a follower of Jesus Christ. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is when you cry out to Him for salvation and He saves you. And yes, it's called repentance. The course of your life changes from one direction and goes to another direction. That, my friends, is genuine faith. Now, I'm not telling you, don't tell your kids to ask Jesus. I'm not saying that. No. I'm saying you be sure your kids understand it's not some simple prayer that acknowledges Jesus that saves them. Genuine faith is when you repent of sins and you turn that direction trusting Jesus Christ with your life. That's why people are so confused today. They look at church members and they say, "Wow, look at what they do. If they're going to heaven, then I'm surely going to heaven." The problem is they're probably not going to heaven when they go to church on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. Because what they have is not real. Abraham had a genuine faith. That faith, that trust, was the avenue for his salvation. The test of that faith was Abraham's obedience after his salvation. That's what I want you to understand today. Works does not save you. It is that faith, that trust of giving your life to Jesus Christ. But if your life has not been changed because of your faith, what you have is not real. Number two, genuine faith sometimes fails. Now, the world will tell you that your failure is an indication that you're not saved. Well, you know, and I've had people talk to me and had doubts about their salvation because they ran across this path, and yes, they turned off the path that Jesus had for them, and they sinned and they kind of separated from God there. Listen, I want you to understand this. Before you condemn another because of their failures, you remember the great men of the Bible whose faith failed. Okay? Just because you have a genuine faith doesn't mean you're not going to have failures along the way. Is my point, right? You know Abraham failed? Abraham failed. You say, how so? His faith failed. When there was a famine in the land, right after he got to the land that God showed him, there was a famine in the land. And because of that famine, Abraham went down to Egypt. And you know what he did? He told everybody in Egypt that Sarah was his sister. Now, if you know the Bible, you know Sarah was his wife, right? But he told everybody that Sarah was his sister because he was afraid they would kill him so they could have his wife. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're married and you've advertised to everybody that your wife is your sister, you wouldn't have to worry about everybody else killing you. Your wife would probably do the job for you, right? But Abraham was afraid. What caused that fear? It was a lack of faith. It was a failure in faith. You realize Abraham didn't have to go to Egypt and lie about his wife? The God that had called him and placed him in that promised land could have took care of him just as well with the lies or without the lie instead of him taking it in his own hands. Old Abraham, not only did he lie about his wife, he got ahead of God. You know, it was promised that through him would be built a great nation. So Abraham and Sarah got to thinking, this is taking too long. Maybe we need to help God out in the process of this, having a child. And so Sarah told Abraham, take my handmaid Hagar as your wife and have a child through her Sarah may have children via that handmaid. You know, that wasn't God ordained. Nothing about that sin, nothing that Abraham did concerning that was led by God. It was a matter of failing faith. God said it's going to happen. But when God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen in God's time. You ever notice that? I mean, you can know something's going to happen, but it's not going to happen until God's ready for it to happen. And that was the case here. Abraham got impatient and his faith failed. But it wasn't just Abraham. Men like David, described as a man after God's own heart. You realize his sin with Bathsheba, adultery, murder, cover up. I mean, he went to the bottom of the barrel. But God still loved him. Still described as a man after God's own heart. What was his problem? It was a faith failure. The Apostle Peter, the believing man that he was, when it came down to it and he was asked, "Aren't you one of the disciples of Jesus Christ?" The Bible says he cursed and said, "I am not." What was the problem? It was a faith failure. Now, why do I tell you all this? Listen, just because you fail, just because you drop the ball, just because you make a mistake and fall into sin, that doesn't mean that you've lost anything. That just means that your faith has failed. But the God that you originally called on is still the God that sealed you from the day you called upon Him for salvation. Nothing changes with God. You see, my faith may fall short, but God will never fall short in anything. See, genuine faith fails. And in those failures, we learn a great deal. As a matter of fact, it's in those failures and challenges that we learn the most, right? But don't let that failure cause you to doubt what you have in Jesus Christ. Number three. Genuine faith opens the door to God's grace. I love verse 4 that we read. "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt." I'm going to give you my literal translation, okay? "But to the working, the wages are not credited according to grace, but according to debt." And what it's saying is this: for those who believe in a works-based salvation, if you're working for your salvation, you're saying that God owes me heaven. Okay? If you think you're going to be good enough to make it to heaven because you have done, and you fill in the blank, you know, I've gone to church. Well, that's a good blank to fill in. Right? But would you dare say, "God, you owe me heaven because I went to church"? Absolutely not. Because let me ask you, when you got to church, did you pour out your heart? And every time you ever went to church, did you pour out your heart in praise to God? Probably not. Probably not. God does not owe you anything. You can talk about all you've done, but let's be honest. What about your failures? I mean, everybody here has faith failures. The Bible describes it as, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you may do good things, but you still have to deal with your sin. How do you deal with that? It's called grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace says God will provide the forgiveness of your sin even though you do not deserve it. Here's what you got to come to grips with, okay? For salvation, you have to come to grips with the fact that you're not nearly as good as you think you are. As a matter of fact, it's described in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You know what the Greek words there, when it says there is none, you know what that means? Just what it says, none. You know, behind that, where it says there's none righteous, no, not one, you know what that means? It means the same thing. The emphasis is placed upon, we could go down every pew, in every aisle, every section. We could cover the floor today, and we could move up to the balcony, and we could search through the balcony, and listen, There are some fine people here today, I'm sure. But here's what we're going to find if we go through every individual here, that there is none righteous, no, not one. None. That's you. That's me. That's all of us. So here's my question to you. Why should God let you, the unrighteous person that you are, into His heaven? What's your answer? Verse 7. Here's the answer. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Why should God allow you into His heaven? It's called grace. Unmerited favor. That means even though you don't deserve it, God wants you to spend eternity with Him. There's only one way. Your lawless deeds have to be forgiven. Now remember, we established the fact a while ago that every individual man, woman, and child in this congregation, that there's none righteous, no, not one. Oh, but there are those who are blessed. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Forgiven how? Through Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary, and all Calvary was about Jesus taking the punishment for your sin and for my sin. That's how our lawless deeds are forgiven. Because God judged your sin by placing your sin upon Jesus on the cross of Calvary. So blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. How do you cover sins? You know what that word cover means? It means just what it says. It means to cover up something. So it's out of sight. There's only one way to cover up sin. It's called the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing, "Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?" That's the only biblical covering that there is for sin. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. That means put sin on his account. Are you blessed? Does the Lord put sin on your account? You said, "Brother Doug, you said that all of us have sinned." Yes, I said that. You said there's none righteous. No, not. Yes, I said that. Here's the thing. To whose account will your sin and unrighteousness be placed? Okay? You can place it to your own account, or you can place it to the account of Jesus Christ who paid for your sin 2,000 years ago. See, that's what that's about. That's called grace. Now, my question. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Have you been washed in the blood? Has God taken your sin and placed it upon Jesus Christ? If not, listen, you're missing the blessing of a lifetime. I said this is genuine faith. Genuine faith starts with a genuine turning to Jesus Christ. And a turning away from whatever it is else that you're chasing in this world, okay? Whether it's you're trying to work for salvation, it's not going to happen, right? You're not going to make it. If it's just, you know, well, you're just living like the devil kind of mentality, you're not going to make it to heaven. What's it take? It takes you turning to Jesus, period. And receiving the grace. Now, let me ask you a question. I want you to think of the most, you know, one of the most the things that you would like to have more than anything else in this life. Okay? Whatever that is. Whether it's $1 million or maybe a new house or whatever, you know, something you'd really, 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 really like to have. And if I were to come up to you today and I could say, here it is. And you tell me, oh no, Brother Doug, I can't accept that from you. I said, no. Brother Doug, let me pay you for it. No, I don't want you to pay me for it. I want you to take it. Well, Brother Doug, I can't take it. No, okay. If you want it, you've got to take it to yourself. If that was my condition, would you do it? Would you do it? That's the condition that God has placed in front of you today. He offers you heaven. Okay? Heaven, where there will be streets of gold. An eternal home with Him that'll never fade away. That's what He offers to you today. And He says, here it is. I paid for this for you on the cross of Calvary. It's yours. It's yours. Take it. Well, no, let me pay you for it. Oh, no. You can't pay me. Because, see, then it ceases to be grace. But will you receive it? I'm offering you heaven today. Will you receive it? Well, you know, not right now, later, maybe. Okay, no. I'm offering you the grace. Jesus, I don't deserve it. I know. We both know you don't deserve it, you know. Will you take it? See, that's why we're told salvation is a gift. That we're saved by grace through faith. That it is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. Now I ask you, is what you have real? Have you come to that point where you truly gave your life to Jesus Christ? And if you can't say, Brother Doug, I know where I'm going. Yes, what I have is real. You need to get that taken care of today. You need to lay the pride aside. Well, Brother, I don't want anybody to know. You need to forget everybody else. You need to worry about what you have in Jesus Christ or what you don't have in Jesus Christ. Will you receive the gift of eternal life today? Choice is yours. You know, I would be really sad if I offered you that thing that you wanted so much and I said, here, just take it. I want you to have it because I love you. And you said, you told me, no, Brother Doug, I don't want your gift. Don't tell Jesus today, no, I don't want your gift. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, we know salvation is by grace through faith. Not of works. Because if it were of works, we could boast. But Lord, we can't boast because we know it is your gift. And now I pray for those today who have not received the gift. I pray that today will be the day that they call upon you for salvation and turn their life over, trusting you with their life and their eternity. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.